Exodus 21, I find it fascinating to see how the Lord Jesus used the law of Moses and how, in fact, he is teaching a far higher standard of morality, spirituality, than what was inculcated by the law. Look at chapter 21, verse 24, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Well, this is not in fact the spirit of the law of Moses, but it is specifically here in a very specific context about a situation where a pregnant woman is attacked and beaten and has a deformed child because of the violence of a man. Well, Jesus quotes this and says, you know, this is what was said, but I tell you, turn the other cheek. I tell you, forgive. I tell you, do not seek, in that sense, some sort of compensation. So he's saying, yes, that's what the law said, but there is a higher level. If you are a pregnant woman and you are beaten and your child is deformed, there is this natural desire for payback and for justice. Okay, my child does not have eyes or whatever. My child is blind because you beat me up when I was pregnant. Therefore, you who beat me, your eyes shall be put out. Jesus is saying, no, turn the other cheek. He's teaching here something really radical, because of course the desire of the pregnant woman naturally was to blind the person who blinded her unborn child. And there's a lot of this in society. People say, yeah, justice must be done. This was done to me, so therefore I want to see my abuser punished. This is absolutely natural. And I'm not saying that, you know, in a secular sense, that there should not be some sort of compensation, some sort of punishment, as it were. But of course, if, for example, eye for an eye, you take that. So the pregnant woman is beaten and she has a child and the child is blind and so she can have the eyes gouged out of the guy who beat her. Well, her child is still blind. Punishing the person, even unto death, will not change the damage that they did physically. That cannot be undone. And I think the Lord is saying, look further. Look to yourself, actually, and forgive. Forgive. And don't demand this. Of course, you can demand it, legitimately, as it were. Just as the pregnant woman who had the deformed child could legitimately express her anger by insisting on the physical deformation of the man who'd attacked her. But the Lord is saying, look, there's a higher level here. Forgive. And I think that we are constantly encountering these kinds of situations. And this is where there is a bridge between these ancient laws and life today. Because there you see principles, and you see the Lord saying that, look, you can go beyond the letter of laws to principle, to higher levels. And really, we have so many people who sin against us in a sort of permanent sense, the damage done in one form or another, even if it's not physical but psychological, emotional, abides with us and remains. And what are you to do? Even if you could get hold of that person, a lot of these things happened so long ago that the people who did it may be dead, or it's maybe inappropriate to try to punish them in some way. Even if you can get hold of them and, well, do to them what they did to you. Are you going to be happy? People come out of courtrooms saying, well, I'm glad that justice was done, because they sued the person who they think damaged them in some way. But actually, justice wasn't done. All it is that they feel that they got some sort of payback against the person who hurt them. But justice ultimately has not been done, because the damage done cannot be undone. And walking out of a courtroom knowing that you have paid back the person who hurt you, are you going to live happily ever after? No. The way that Jesus is explaining here is definitely the best. Let's take another example of where he goes beyond to another level. Verse 33, if a man opens a pit, or if a man digs a pit and doesn't cover it, and a bull or a donkey falls into it, then he's responsible. He didn't cover his pit. Now, Jesus tells a parable about that. He says, "What man is there of you who has a pit and an animal falls into it? Don't you immediately go and pull the animal out?" Well, the law of Moses said, well, if your animal falls into the pit, you get hold of the guy who didn't cover the pit, and you can get compensation. Jesus says, look, yeah, that's one thing. There's a higher level. Save. Run instantly and save the person. Save the animal immediately. Save. Focus on saving the person. Not on demanding compensation or measure for measure or punishment because the guy didn't cover his pit. And Jesus uses that to explain why he works on the Sabbath, why he sees an urgency to saving people. So it's no good when you see someone falling into a pit saying, yeah, well, you fell into a pit. Ah, well, that was because of this, that, and the other. Judgment shall have to come because of that. Well, that may or may not be the case, but save the person. The emphasis is not upon payback. It is upon saving a person. I'm sure we've all encountered the situation where, let's say, a mother is walking with her young child and the child sees somebody who's spaced out on drugs or somebody who's drunk or somebody who's seriously misbehaving. And in that sort of irksome, white, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant way, the mother might say to the child, look at that bad man lying over there in the gutter. He's been drinking. Silly man, bad man, hey? Well, save him. Save him. He's fallen into the pit. Save him. She didn't want to imagine how that man's red, contoured face had once been a sweet baby, maybe a mother's pride and joy, mischievous little lad at school, and life didn't work out, and he's ended up where he is. But for God's grace, that irksome, white, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant woman would have gone to the same gutter. If you've got a heart that bleeds, you don't think like that. If you have a heart that bleeds for people, if your focus is upon salvation, right, someone fell into a pit, well, they're still in a pit. There's no point going into all this stuff about, that's because someone didn't cover it. Well, they are responsible. Indeed. But the urgency is the person's in the pit. There is no time to lose. Or the animal is in the pit. There is no time to lose. As Jesus said, I don't even rest on the Sabbath because of this. There is no time to lose. And that should be our attitude, by all means seeking to save, rather than going into legalistic little questions about, well, of course, yes, it's his fault and it's their fault. And yes, well, what happened was this. Okay, maybe. But save. Carry flyers with you all the time, tracts, leave them around, talk to people, get people to have a look at websites or whatever. By all means, persuade people to be baptized. By all means, get out there and try to help whatever it is that's in the pit to get out of it, rather than blaming this, that, and the other.